Amen. It's good singing. Amen. You know, we're blessed and privileged to be able to have this kind of music. And I appreciate it. I enjoy coming. Enjoy being in the house of the Lord, as I mentioned this morning. You got your Bible tonight. I want to try to speak on this subject, preach. Dealing with doubt. Just something that's been on my heart this week. You know, you look through God's Word, and we're going to look at a couple of characters in just a minute. You know, sometimes if you have doubts, people frown on that. You know, like, what do you mean? But you know, sometimes it can get so hot in the kitchen that people start thinking about, do I need to get out of the kitchen? I want to read this morning in John chapter 20 and in Matthew chapter number 11. But I want to talk a little bit about Thomas, and I want to talk about John the Baptist. And then I want to look over there at Job and just look at a couple of verses in the book of Job. But I want to look at doubt and look at what doubt is and how Jesus dealt with it, and then we'll try to apply it to our own hearts and our own lives. But in John chapter 20, beginning in the 19th verse, I want to begin to read, and then we'll go the 19th and the 20th and go down to the 24th through the 29th. But this is speaking where Jesus came to his disciples. After he had been crucified and he was resurrected, you know, he had come and he had visited with them a time or two. And, you know, some of them were more receptive than others. But I want us to look at Thomas and what Thomas said and how Jesus responded to him. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now let's go down to the 24th verse. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, I want to stop right there for just a minute. We're going to read a few more verses in just a minute. But one thing I want us to understand is we're not all the same. You know, we're not all created the same. And one thing that I believe the Lord wants to do is he doesn't want you to be just like somebody else. You know, even preachers. You know, all preachers don't preach the same way. All teachers don't teach the same way. All people don't testify the same way. And you know, I can get up here and I tell you, I just have a ball. I mean, I just love preaching. I love the Word of God. But you get me in a room over here when I'm not preaching and we're having fellowship, and I want to tell you, I'm as awkward as anybody in the room. You know, now I've done these things at work, and I'm going to get back into this in just a minute. You ever took those personality tests? You know, where they go through and they, you know, you remember, some of you might be familiar with this, the otter or the beaver or the lab. I hate that kind of stuff. I tell them, I ain't none of them. That's what I say, I ain't none of them. You know, and then when they tell you what you are, I say, no, that's not what I am, I'm this. But here's the point, we're not the same. And when you see somebody that doesn't act just like you do, they don't respond just like you do, they're not as outgoing as you are, they're not talkative, don't judge them. We're not the same. And one thing that I believe the Lord knew when he was dealing with these disciples, he knew that they were not the same. And when he called them, he did not call them all from the same place either. Remember, Matthew was sitting at the receipt of custom, a tax collector. We had Peter, who was a fisherman and stubborn and hard-headed. Remember, he pulled his sword out and cut off the servant of the high priest's ear real quick to rebuke the Lord, even when the Lord would speak. And then he called Luke, the physician, who wrote and defined and gives us so much of a great picture into the life of Christ. And then John the Beloved. And then what we're known. What is he known as? doubting Thomas. And when we look at this scripture, he says, I'm not going to believe, lest I can touch the prints in his hands and reach my hand into his side. But look at what happens in the 26th verse. It says, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas. Now remember, the Bible teaches us that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees us, he knows us. And, you know, he wasn't physically in the presence when Thomas says, I won't believe if I can't put my finger in his hand. But God knows. And he knew Thomas. And then it says he turned in the 27th verse. Then he said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless or unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Then saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now I want you to see how he spoke to him. You know, sometimes people need more tangible evidence. You know, I like to teach and preach on apologetics, but I'll tell you something. If you're going to get saved by the grace of God, it's because you believe and receive the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes it doesn't matter how much tangible evidence you present, people still have to believe and receive the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you must be born again. Well, but here's the thing. God knew what Thomas needed. Now let's go over to Matthew chapter number 11 and let's look at another scripture. This is here talking about John the Baptist. Now I want you to remember who John the Baptist was. He's the forerunner of Christ, and he was there when Jesus came. And he baptized him. And he recognized who he was. And he heard the voice from heaven say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And he went about preaching. But there come a time in John the Baptist's life where John the Baptist was preaching just the truth. And because he preached the truth, he was cast into prison. Now, folks, I don't know, you know, how strong your faith might be or how weak it might be, but you throw someone in a dark cell for doing the right thing, for serving God, and they're down there and they're hungry and they're cold and they're having to live in a dirty in the filth like Jeremiah when he was let down into the mire, and it becomes a test of your faith. Now, I'll get to why this stuff is on my heart in just a minute, but I want you to look at the scripture and what it says about John the Baptist. In Matthew 11 and verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, sometimes when you read this, you say, well, how in the world could John have doubted? He was there. He heard the voice of God speak, and he baptized him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Well, sometimes in our lives, we go through things that may put us in the same place. But let's look at how the Lord responded to John. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again. Again. Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto him. It says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet, yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, this was a great preacher. This was a great man of God. He wore the original camouflage. You know, the scripture says he came out of the wilderness and he ate, like we're going to eat at the wild game dinner, he ate locust and wild honey and he was clothed with camel's hair. Okay? So we're okay at the wild game dinner. Just give you that. But this is a man that's called of God. See, sometimes our perception is wrong. Sometimes our perception is off. But here's what I want you to see. How did Jesus deal with people who doubted? Well, here's what I want you to first see is how he did not deal with them. You know, the first thing we want to see was, you know, what do we call him? Doubting Thomas. What do we say about John the Baptist? And he went and he said, you just go reaffirm the things that he's heard. The first thing he did not do is Jesus did not condemn them. And we need to be careful not to do that ourselves. If we see somebody that's struggling or down, we don't need to condemn them. Or we need to lift them up. We need to remind them, just like Jesus did. He said, you go tell him the things that you see and hear. And what did he say? He said, tell him again. You know, sometimes people need to hear it again. They need to hear that things are going to be all right. They need to hear that God is still in control, because what's going on in their life is dark, and that's what's caused them to doubt. He did not condemn them. And here's something else I want you to understand. Jesus did not forsake them. You know, see, that's sometimes the fear, and that's sometimes the way that people are. If you get off track and you're not going down the right path and you're not doing the right thing, all of a sudden some people will just write you off. You know, well, he used to be part of us, but he's not one of us anymore. Let me tell you something. The church is the last ones that need to shoot their wounded. You know, I've had people tell me that and this is sad to say, but they say, you know, when I really wanted friends, I felt like I needed to go back to the bar where I used to be. God forbid. When we come into the house of the Lord, we ought to love one another and recognize that we are what we are by the grace of God. Amen? So what he did not do, he did not condemn them, he did not forsake them. Well, what did he do? What did he do? Well, some of my favorite scriptures over in Psalms 103. But you know, sometimes not only do we doubt, but sometimes we duel with God. Well, what do you mean? You know, and I want you to understand something. Let's go over, before we go to Psalms, let's go to the book of Job, and then I want to give you some points about Christ and what Christ offers. But you know, sometimes in our walk with God, and I'll use myself for an example, and I'll tell you why this is on my heart. I have had a trying week. I've had one of those kind of weeks where it's sometimes the weight begins to get so heavy, you really have to just take deep breaths and say, God, guide me. God, direct me. God, give me the right words so that the words aren't wrong. You know, because I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to step out of bounds. I don't want to do something. You know, here's how it is a lot of times, and I told my wife this, and I'm just going to be open with you. I said, I think sometimes I'd like to just blow up and have a fit and then ask for forgiveness. You know, that's kind of the way it is. I mean, it's like, God, where are you at? Why in the world is this happening? I don't understand all these problems. I don't understand all this trouble. Why is it piling up so much when all I'm trying to do is do what's right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know what I've learned? I've learned when it gets like that, I've learned to get still. You know why I learned to get still? Because if I don't get still, I get out of line. And I've learned to begin to listen close to the Spirit of God. Now here you see Job. And Job is tried and tested to the extent, and this is something I'd never want to happen, to when God would call your name out to the devil. And here's God, he's called Job's name out to the devil. And Job's lost a lot. He's lost his possessions. Well, that's bad, isn't it, when you work all your life? And the stock market crashed. Remember a few years ago? Your stock market, it either went between 40 to 60% of its original value, depending on where it was at. Now, if you've kept it in there, you got it back plus some. But you don't know when that's going to happen again. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow that's going to create difficulty or trial in your life. Well, folks, Job was right in the middle of it. He lost everything that he had, and then beyond that, all of his children. And he began to duel with the Lord. Now, he knew who God was. That's why the Lord called his name out to the devil, and he said, "Have you beheld my servant Job?" But Job doubted. And Job dueled. And Job didn't doubt who God was, but Job doubted what God was doing. If you go over to the 23rd chapter of Job in the 1st through the 6th verse, it says, "Then Job answered and said, 'Even today is my complaint bitter, and my stroke is heavier than my groaning.'" In other words, the pain that I'm feeling inside of my heart and my life. You ever got to the point that it was just like a rope tied to your heart that's just pulling you down, and you just wish, honestly, that the day would pass so that you could have a better day and have peace? He said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." He said, "I would order my cause before him, and I would fill my mouth with arguments." He's wanting to tell the Lord what he thinks. He's wanting to tell the Lord that he feels like it's wrong for all these things that you've allowed to happen to me. I felt that way. You never had one of those days to where you get to the point that you say, "God, why is this happening? How could you be God and let this happen to me when all the truth is all I'm trying to do is live my life for your honor and glory?" There are some things we're not going to understand. But I want to tell you that God, when he deals with you, he deals with you with love, with compassion, and with kindness. He said, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? But it says, no, but he would put strength in me. Now here's something I want you to understand. Here's Job, he's dueling with God, he's struggling with God, but he already knows who God is. Because he has an intimate relationship with him, and he knows he can talk like that, but he says, I know who my God is. And I know what he's going to do when I come before him. He's going to put strength in me. You know, I would never want to face what Job faced. But I've heard stories of other people who have faced similar things. I heard a story at one time of a lady who was giving her testimony about how God's grace can bring you through. And she was talking about one day being in her kitchen, and two little boys were outside, and they were running around the house, and they were playing, and you know, she could hear them, you know, as they crowd. You could hear them in the backyard. You could hear them in the front yard. And you know how it is as a mother, if you don't hear them often enough, you want to hear them. She said, but all of a sudden I heard these screams. And she said, you know, it's those kind of screams when you hear, you know something's wrong. And that's the way it is with my kids. I can hear them holler and I know what's going on. They're fighting. They're into something. They're playing. But then there are those screams that you drop everything you're doing and you go. She said, I heard these screams and I ran out the door from the kitchen, and she said, I couldn't find them. And I ran around the house and I heard them, and I finally realized they were under the house. They had went under the house into a crawl space. And she said, the two little boys had gotten under there, and this was in South Carolina, and she said they had gotten into a den of rattlesnakes. And she said, I crawled under there and my two little boys had been bitten, and I got them by the legs and I pulled them out. Now, if you've never been through anything that's traumatic, folks, when something's going on in your life, it's sometimes hard to think straight. She said, I got these two boys and I put them in the car And I was so panicked and frantic trying to take care of them that I went to back up down the driveway in a hurry. And she said, I backed over my 3-year-old daughter. And she said, here I am. I get out and I pick my daughter up and I put her in the car and I'm going to the hospital and I can't even think and I don't even remember driving, but I get there and I'm waiting. And she lost all 3 of her children. And you know, when we hear about those kind of things, sometimes what happens in our life when the storms are really heavy on us is sometimes we begin to doubt God. You can say, oh, I'm strong. I want to tell you something. There's a storm that can make you doubt. There's trouble that can come in life that can test your relationship with God. And I want you to know tonight who God is when the trouble comes. He's a God that'll never leave you nor forsake you. And no matter what you face, He's God on His throne. What does God do? In Psalms chapter 103, I want to read beginning in the 8th verse. Now I want to tell you, I want to speak just a little more about that lady. That lady's in church today. That lady has 2 little children today that she's raising, that God has given her. Now I want to tell you something that only God can do. Only God can give the grace that is required to restore your life. Only God. That's why it says in the book of Philippians that the peace that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And what peace is that? That's when God gives you His peace, because we in ourselves, we can't figure it out. We can't work it up. We can't raise it up. God has to give it to us. Amen. One more story I'll tell you. There was a lady when we were over at Macklin that had a teenage daughter that was in a car with a boy, just like you raising your children, going down the road with a boy that they said, don't go with him. Well, she's with him. She's just a teenager. And they get the call that they had run out of the road and hit a tree. Now, obviously, the boy was intoxicated. And when he hit the tree, it killed their teenage daughter. And he got out of the car and went around and drug her into the driver's seat and went over and laid on the ground. And when she got the call, here's what the mother did. She said, and she told us this, she said, immediately I just looked up and I said, Lord, pour your grace on me right now. Pour your grace on me right now. Why? Because she knew who her father was and she knew who her help came from. Now I want to show you in Psalms, this is something, you know, y'all hear me say this. This is some of my favorite scripture. Folks, I got a lot of favorite scripture. And Psalms 103 is one of my favorite scripture. This is the God that we serve. When the storms are raging and when the troubles of life come. And when I had a day like I had Wednesday, I come in here and try, and I preach Wednesday night, and I said, Lord, I was glad when the Spirit moved because I was ready to get out of the flesh. That's the kind of day I had Wednesday. I was ready to get out of the flesh. And we want God to move. This is the God that we serve. Psalms 103 and verse number 8. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's mercy. You know what that means? That means I did not get what I deserved. Oh, praise God. It says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And then I like this 13th verse. It says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. You know, when my kids get out of line, it tears me up. It tears me up. You know, I don't want them to get out of line. I don't want them to do wrong. But it bothers me because I want to bless them. I want to pour blessings on them, and I love them. And you know, sometimes I'll put them on restriction and I'll say, you ain't doing this and you ain't doing that till you straighten up. You know, all I'm looking for, I'm just waiting for them to say, Daddy, I'm sorry. I said, okay, here's all your stuff back. My wife's shaking her head. All I'm looking for, all I'm looking for is repentance. Just some kind of change. And you know, God looks at us and He pitieth us just like a father pitieth his children. It says, for He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And He has pity and mercy, knowing our understanding and who we are. Folks, you're not perfect. You're not going to be perfect. And sometimes you're going to have a bad day. And down there where I work, I got, you know, I feel like sometimes the position that I'm in, at work, at home, at church, is I need to be perfect. I do. And I got a little sign on my computer that says, be perfect. I got another little sign that says, every day a masterpiece. And that's after a coach that coached up in Minnesota. That was the theme of his life, is every day do something great. But he said that because of his relationship with God. Another little thing I've got is the prayer of Jabez. I take it seriously. But the truth is, I'm not perfect. And sometimes you have a bad day. It says in the 14th verse, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. It says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. It says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Now, it says unto children's children. I want to say this and I want to give you some points tonight. There are times in my life that I honestly have felt like that God has blessed me because of my dad's faithfulness. Now, I don't know if you can understand that, but I feel that. My dad was faithful when he walked with God. Sometimes so faithful, if I could tell you some of the things I'd experienced, sometimes people might shake their head. Oh, I don't believe that. I want to tell you, he was faithful. He was a man of God. And sometimes when I look at him and I look at the life he lived, he never lived extravagantly, never had a whole lot, but one thing he had was a lot of faith. And he walked with God. And it says to children's children. And one thing that I believe is that God is merciful. And God is loving and God is kind. No, we're not going to understand everything that we go to but through in our lives. But I want you to understand, when you do doubt and when you do struggle, here's how Jesus deals with doubters. Number one, if we look back, what did he do with Thomas and John? Number one is he offered words of encouragement. Now you stop and think about that for just a minute. You know, I'm still learning. I don't know about you, but I'm still learning. You know, it's kind of like this saying, you get a whole lot more with sugar than you do salt. We got all these sayings that we use. But I want to tell you what God does for us. He comes with encouragement. And I think if we would be a little more like that, to offer encouraging words. He addressed Thomas's lack of faith directly. He said, here, look at these hands. Touch my side. He wanted to let him see and understand who he was. Well, what did he do with John? He said, go tell him again. Job already knew. He said, I won't argue with him. Would he plead against me with his great power? He said, but no, he would put strength in me. You see, he offers words of encouragement. Number two is he helps people where they are. Sometimes you might look around and say, oh, I'd like to be like, you know, have as much faith as so-and-so, or I'd like to be that strong or have that much faith or peace with God. Folks, God deals with you where you are. And if we were required to be perfect, none of us would make it. Now, I'm going to just say this. That's why I don't understand these people that believe it's saved today, lost tomorrow stuff. You know, I had a guy, he challenged me one time on a job. I had on a tie like this and I had a tie pin right there. And he said, don't you know what tie pin is sin? I said, really? He said, yeah, it's decoration. I said, what's a tie? And as I began to talk to him and listen to him, you know, he began to tell me about how that he felt like he had to work in his life to be perfect, to be accepted by God. And it become a list of rules and structure that he had to adhere to. But folks, we can't be. We're changed because we're born spiritually into the family of God. It's like I told my boys, I said, y'all can do all kind of stuff, but you're still mine. And folks, sometimes Christians do all kind of stuff, but you're still God's. And he loves you and he cares for you and he helps you where you are. And there's nowhere you go that if you're saved by the grace of God, number one, you're taking him with you. When you go there, you're taking him with you. But I want you to understand, there's nowhere you'll go that he can't come find you and bring you out. Because he's God. Number three, he loved them in spite of their weakness. So he encouraged them. He went to where they were, and he loved them. Okay? And sometimes, if we look at this in ourselves, we need to love one another in spite of our weakness. In spite of our failure, in spite of our wrongs, in spite of anything in our life that's not perfect, because we're not. I'm not, you're not. Your kids are not going to be perfect. Your wife and your husband is not going to be perfect. Your deacons' church are not going to be perfect. Now, they're close, but they're not going to be perfect. We love them in spite of their weakness. And here's number four. I like this. When we doubt, he does not stop being God. Do you get that? Brother Larry, one of my favorite verses also, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He's God. And when the trouble comes, he's God. When I fail, he's God. When I'm on the mountain, he's God. When I'm in the valley, he's God. When I'm doing right, he's God. When I'm doing wrong, he's God. He's God all the time, and he has no equal. And he's not going to change. So when we're dealing with doubt, just like Job said, he was arguing with God. He wanted to. You ever wanted to do that? I have. You know, sometimes I say, God, just send me a text. He said, just do what you know to do. Just do what you already know you're supposed to do. And if you do that today, I'll send you my spirit tomorrow. He does not stop being God when we doubt. Amen? I would like first just to sing one verse of some song, any song tonight. If you're here tonight, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm not the only one. I don't like when the storms come and they rage. You know why? Because I like it to be just like this. I like it to be just like I described, that lake. You know, the one that's down in the valley and the leaves land in it and it makes a little ripple and then it's calm. But the truth is, you don't learn a lot until the waves come. If you're here as we sing just one verse of song, anybody that's like to talk to the Lord, anything you'd like to talk to the Lord about, you can do that right where you're at. That's okay. But I just want to give you this opportunity as we sing tonight. Looks like our trio is going to do another song for us out of this red book. Everybody would rise to your feet. We'll sing just a couple of verses of song.